It's the Al Reed Show.
Such is life. Life is what you make it. Such is life. Show them you can take it on the chin with a grin. When Mr. Bloom comes around, don't let him in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes, because from here on, we're turning life round just to show you the funny side. Introducing us to ourselves, here's Al Reed.
I thought, right, monkey. do forgive me. I'm afraid that was getting a bit complicated. But then, life is complicated, and especially when it comes to sorting out the family possession. They say, you can't take it with you. It's not what we take with us, it's what people leave behind that causes all the trouble. Why is it we never seem to get what we're entitled to? I mean, you get downstairs in the morning, happy, singing, swing around the jimmy jock, swing around the jimmy jock, swing around. And what greets you? Dinner then. That's the wife from the kitchen. Piano, why, what? That piano was promised to you. Was always understood. If anything happened, that piano was to come here. I nearly went stark raving mad when I saw it in their front room. I only said, I hope one of you plays it, and he had the cheek to say, no, give us a tune. And that kid does it no good. He took a lump out of it with his roller skates while I was there. Well, Let them have it. You make me sick. It was that mahogany dining table with a polished top. That should have been yours, but no. You left it, and when I got you to go round for it, you'd torn it up and made a dog kennel. Well, I got three of the legs. Like I said at the time, everything should have been sold and shared. And she's no right to be wearing that ring, you know. Might well never come near. Not for what it's worth. It's a nasty way it's been done. I knew she was up to no good when she knitted that bed jacket. Now, don't start all that again. No, well, I've not forgotten her taking that coconut up when the doctor said nothing but gruel. Now, be very careful what you say. Fat lot we got, I know that. You see, you spent pounds on that marble clock and it never went until you dropped it. Well, let people do what they like with you. Now, that's enough. Anything for the easiest with you? Have you finished? Want a bum on you at times? Have you done? Well, I'm not so gutted. Drive you mad. Mind you, the wife's right. How is it we never get these things settled? The trouble is, possession is 9 points of the law. Mind you, we can always take legal advice. Have you tried it? By the time you've found a solicitor, made an appointment, climbed 6 flights of stairs, discovered you're in the wrong block, tried again, and waited for him to come back from his lunch, you begin to wish you'd never bothered. And the Johnny Knoll who's waiting before you doesn't help. You've met him.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Have you come for some advice?
Yes.
Well, if you take mine, you'll go before he comes back.
Why, isn't he a good solicitor?
Good solicitor? He's a doddering old windbag and all that. I'm all right, Florrie, she'll tell you.
Pardon?
She will, that. What's your trouble, then?
Oh, I'm not in any trouble.
You will be when he gets in. Well, that. Wait till you get in there. Well, I see nothing like it. I see nothing like it. Well, she swears it's half potty. Well, you can tell. We got a summons for a smoky chimney. We asked this fella to fight the case. He takes counsel's opinion, then come round and sweeps it. You've not come to see him about unclaimed money, have you?
No, I'm not worried about money.
You will be when you get your bill.
Why, is he a commissioner for oaths?
Commissioner for oaths? You should have heard what he said when he trapped his hand in the safe.
Well, I'm a bit worried now because I've had this letter.
Let's have a look at it. Aye, I thought so. They've had you for a right mug, I'll tell you.
Oh?
They have that. I can see what's going on here. You should have been down there when that will was read. Have you got the deed?
No.
You want your brains washing? He's only got to marry again and you're out in the street.
Well, never mind. He'll not prosper.
Well, according to this, he's not doing so bad. Has he said anything about that check suit?
No.
No, he won't. He's wearing it. Well, who's had more of it than I have? I say, who's had more of it than me? Will I ever forget it? Up and down them stairs, same as I was, and them sharing it out before she never got near. Brewing tea every 5 minutes, not one of them lifting a finger. Her frightened to open her mouth and him in the kitchen crying his eyes out. I'll never forget it, I won't. I say, I will not, I won't. I wouldn't care, but she left 75,000 quid and I had to borrow a tanner to get home.
Well, I don't know what to do now. You see, they've got 3 parts of my furniture.
Well, there's only one thing you can do. Give them what you've got and go and live with them. Well, you all know how it feels when you greet an old friend, and that's why I know you'll share my feelings now when I say hello and offer a very sincere welcome to Jimmy Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Greetings, gentle folk. This is Jolly Jim, the kiddies' favorite. Back again, full of comical capers and whimsical wheezes. So turn down the lights, lock Granny in the cycle shed, and see what's on television. For tonight... Don't scratch, boy. Don't scratch. This isn't variety fanfare. For tonight... Quite a big audience here, really. It's so heartening to know that in these hard times, so many of you can still afford these free shows. Talk to you about farming. I almost forgot what I was going to talk to you about from this. Now, there are 2 kinds of farmers. Ordinary farmers and gentleman farmers. There's not much difference between them, really, except that gentleman farmers are the sort of people who have grapes on the sideboard when nobody's ill. I myself am a farmer born and bred. I was brought up among cattle, I've lived with cattle, I've slept with cattle all my life, and that's absolutely true. No spasmodic applause, please. Only tutty. I have a stretch of land in Sussex, as a matter of fact. Some of it is pretty arable. Most of it is pretty honorable. The trouble is that it's rather low-lying. It tends to get waterlogged. In fact, the ground is so damp that the hens are now laying their eggs from a standing position. And the production of eggs is important to the nation. In order to increase the country's egg production, the House of Lords recently had an all-night sitting. Not one egg from the lot of them. Their lordships want more grit in their diet. That's their trouble. It's true. It's true that my champion hen, Hortense, sometimes lays 7 eggs in 5 days. But she only does that to get a weekend free. The other hens are so bone-lazy. I'm trying to think of something easier for them to do. Farming certainly has its problems, though. Take the cows. For the benefit of the city dweller, by the way, a cow is an animal rather like a horse standing over a naval mine. It's very well equipped. It's equipped with 4 stander-uppers, 2 sticker-outers, 4 hanger-downers and a swisher. Yes. This is all news to you city dwellers, isn't it? On my own farm, I got 2 sizes of cow. I got large cows for pint bottles and small cows for half-pint bottles. I also have one very clottish cow. She's for yogurt. I'm waiting too late. Many farms make a specialty of supplying pasteurized milk. My farm supplies terrorized milk. That's milk taken from discontented cows who don't want to let go.
But you know... No, you shouldn't giggle. My cows are very sensitive girls, you see. I had to fire the man who usually milks them, and I suppose they miss his sure touch, you know. I hated losing him, but he had to go. You see, besides being a cowman, he was also the village bell ringer, and he would hang on.
Well, it's difficult to get good cowmen. There's more to milking than hits the eye, you know. I've got a temporary cowman for the moment, but he's unspeakably bad. He can't even aim straight. Oh, completely beyond the pale. Yeah, besides chickens and cows, I also keep a few ducks. Anybody know what a duck is? Come on, anybody. You, the boy with a face like a pound of veal. Quite simple. A duck is a large bird whose toes have no in-between. Well, students, no lecture on rural affairs would be complete without a word from my neighbor, old Reuben. So I'd like to read you a letter that I received from him this morning. Reuben writes, "Dear Jim, I'm writing to tell ye what is how things be middling quiet around these parts." Folks do say you'll be up doing a broadcast. We'll be muck spreading around about that time and all. You'll be glad to hear old Sam went off Saturday for the annual Bath and West Cattle Show. Cattle show where over time he got there, so all he had was the annual bath. I ain't saying that bath was overdue like, but I do know when old Sam got dressed again, his suit was 2 sizes too big for him. The cattle show were opened by that BBC gentleman, Dick Bentley. He jumped up on a mound, he gasped, and he said, "Folks, this has taken my breath away." That'll teach him to watch where he jumps in the country. In the afternoon, he judged the prize pig. He said, "I award first prize to this old sow here." Dear, I happen to have my trombone in my hip pocket with a rousing tune. I think it will. If a gentleman... I'll meet you later.
That's the last time!
Willem, you're posted. I think we'll send you down to West Regional.
Oh,
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
Nothing.
I haven't said it yet. No, it was wonderful.
No, that's what I was going to say.
It really was wonderful.
No, nothing at all.
But Jimmy.
No. Nothing at all, Reed. Just genius.
But
that's
Jimmy.
All. I'm glad you enjoyed the
actor.
Yes, thank you. No, I loved it. I enjoyed doing it.
I'm not talking about you.
Oh, I'm very sorry, old man.
I want you to meet a young lady.
He's gone all serious, hasn't he, eh?
She has a great view. Lovely to look at. Most attractive.
How disappointing.
No, seriously, Jimmy. It's a great thrill for me to be introducing a really exciting new singing star, Louise Trial.
Love is where to find it. Don't be blinded. It's all around you, everywhere. Take a chance now. For a man now. Tell of someone that you care. Bring love hand upon you. When it's gone, you feel it well. Soon though, when the moon glows, you'll find the new love is there. Love is where to find it. Be designed it to be waiting everywhere. It may hide from you for a while. It may come tonight in a smile.
Now, look, we're all going to have a lot of fun, and would you like to join us?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. Well, stand by, everybody, because here and now, we're taking the lid off Road Travel.
Road Travel really began in the year 1640 with the advent of the stagecoach. The traveler in those days could never be sure when the stagecoach would arrive to pick him up. And this fact, together with the discomfort involved over long distances, was often a sore point. Thus giving rise to the expression still heard today, there's always another behind.
And you can bet it was a hard life for the drivers, too. They must have found themselves in some perilous positions. Can we really picture what it must have been like?
Tell you, we shall be in York the day after tomorrow week.
Ah!
Just think, you and me'll go down in history as the first drivers of the stagecoach.
Aye, but I'll tell you one thing.
What's that then?
The sooner they get some horses for this job, the better it'll suit me.
Of course, in those days, the stagecoach was designed for 6 to 8 passengers. But even then, it was a bit tricky to reserve a seat. Part of a journey.
Oh, dear, Papa. This coach is so stifling.
I know, my dear. I know. After you with the fan.
Oh, this jolting and jarring. It makes me feel quite ill.
Me too, my dear. I shudder to think what it's going to be like when we start moving.
Do you not think, Papa, we should be better sitting with our backs to the horses?
Back to the horses? Back to the horses? Don't be ridiculous, Matilda. There'd never be room for us all between the shafts. But wait. What blundering old fool is this who clambers in upon us?
Your pardon, sir, but methinks you're occupying my seat.
Nonsense, fella. There must be some mistake.
No. No mistake, I do assure you. I put me cocked hat on it.
I know, cock. Me sat on it.
A plague on you, sir. A plague on you. I will up aloft and find me a seat.
You will be lucky. I say you will be lucky.
But, of course, that was years ago. Today, how different today, with the streamlined efficiency of the modern bus service. Today, our buses can transport countless thousands in a matter of minutes. Let's take a look at an everyday scene at any bus station during rush hour and see for ourselves how the organization handles the situation with dependability and courtesy. This bus doesn't turn a wheel, I'll have had three of you. And we'll all have leather that inside. I say we'll have leather that inside.
I heard that.
If I come in there, I'll show you the big-headed whatever it was. Yes, yes, you can have me number. You can have me number.
No, you want 23A, love.
You'll take it, please. Mark you, punctuality is the essential of the modern bus service. These buses must run to time, and the responsibility of keeping to a rigid timetable falls on the shoulders of the inspector. Time becomes part and parcel of his life. He thinks of nothing else, even at home with his family. It's the only language they know.
Oh, come on, Dad. It's 7:23.
Yes, running late this morning, Ma. That kettle's beyond schedule. It should have boiled at 6:47. What time did you put that egg in?
6:56.
Well, where is it then? It was due after 6:59. Well, where's the toast?
I've got a slice on the end of the fork now.
Well, can't you put a duplicate on? I see our Mary was in again late last night.
It's that young man of hers.
I can't stand him. I'll swear he's half empty on top.
I said I'd report her. 12:43 when she checked in last night.
12:43? That settles it. She's making too many stops. She'll have to do a quicker turnaround the other end.
This is all very well, but where does the passenger fit in? We shall find him at the bus stop, waiting for a bus. We've all had a basin full of this. There he is, walking up and down. He's been waiting quarter of an hour now, and they're supposed to run every 7 hours. What must he be thinking? He's seen four go up the other way while he's been there. Have they stopped running or what? Let's go over to the terminus and see what the driver and his mate are playing at. There they are, popping the bus up.
Any more tea in that jug?
Hey, don't you think it's time we were getting back?
What are you worrying about? We haven't got another few minutes. We'll have a full load up. Give us a light.
Hey, no. You'll have to stop and fix them up going back. They'll be coming out of the pictures.
Well, I'll do what I did when I come up. Put my foot down and crack on. I haven't seen them. Hey. And that reminds me, we'll have a fresh arrangement with that bell. You've had me upside down this trip. I never know whether you're ringing me on for the last stop or pulling me up for the next.
Well, it's not always me that rings it.
Well, keep them off it. Murder in that cab. When I open the window, it sounds like a fire engine. You see, you nearly threw me at the last stop. You nearly threw me there.
That woman with that basket that ran after us. If I'd have been a bit nippy with that third gear, she'd have been on. It is amazing, though, what can be lost on buses. And even buses themselves have to be counted. It's somebody's responsibility. Take this scene at a bus depot last thing at night.
148, 149, 150, 151.
Hello! You're wanted on the phone!
Just a minute, I'm counting these buses!
152, 153.
Come on, he's waiting!
Ah, Carl, I'm in the middle of these buses!
He says leave them, he can't wait!
Would you credit it?
Here, Tommy, run that small van in here as a bookmark. Hello. Hey? Oh, dear. Where are you? What, with that new double-decker? No top of it. You've been told before you mustn't try to get under that bridge.
Such is life. Life is what you make it. Such is life. Showing you can make it on the pit. With a grin. When Mr.
Groom
comes around, don't let him in.
Remember life that way. Today you're feeling happy, but tomorrow joy may turn to strife. One thing I found out, there's nothing you can do about it.
Such is life.
Past half hour, we've been looking at life through the pages of the Al Reed Show. Al asked us to thank Louise Fail and the Cordites for supplying the songs, and to say what fun it's been playing Straight Man to Jimmy Edwards. The Lemtowski conducted the Augmented Northern Variety Orchestra, and the program was produced in the north of England by Ronnie Taylor.